2237.
Show starring Jim Bevka. Maybe your mother told you never talk politics and religion in polite company. Well, Jim Bevka's mother never told him that. So come on, enjoy the forbidden pleasure. You can participate in the conversation at 1-800-259-9231. Today's show is sponsored by Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. And now, here's Jim.
Well, hello, everyone. Happy Sunday to you. It's another installment of the Culture Repair Show. We got a lot on board today, so I'm going to get right to it. We got to share with you an event for my week, a documentary. I'm going to be in a documentary. I'm very excited about this. I'm looking forward to seeing my face in film on the Independent Film Institute circuit, and we'll be getting to that. I want to tell you a little bit about a question I was asked there. We're going to be talking about passports. You may not know this, but soon, if you're coming back from Canada or Mexico, you may need a passport to get back into the United States. We're going to talk about the surprise that the Bush administration felt when they found that a law that they had backed resulted in this requirement. And we got some dark humor from a Monty Python about a rock. If we have time, we'll also talk about John Cougar Mellencamp and Small Town Pork, dignity at the White House, and why the National Organization of Women can't keep its hands off women's breasts. We got a lot to cover in the show today, though. We got a big topic. We got a guest here in just a moment, so I want to get the update out of the way. This show is graciously sponsored by Gun Owners America, www.gunowners.org, the only no-compromise lobby in Washington, gun lobby. And this is a GOA update. It's become a popular conservative objective right now to go nuclear. That means end the long-standing practice of filibuster in the U.S. Senate, presumably to set up or down votes on judicial nominees. On April 3, the New York Times cited the work that Gun Owners of America is doing in opposing any change to the Senate rules that would do away with the legislative filibuster. In a setback for supporters of the change, the Times wrote, Gun Owners of America argues that changing the rules to prevent filibustering nominees would lead to the elimination of legislative filibusters, which conservatives have relied on to protect gun rights. Gun Owners believes that one of its greatest legislative weapons is the filibuster. As recently as last year, pro-gun forces used a filibuster threat to keep the semi-auto ban from being placed on the Department of Defense authorization bill. Soon, the showdown will arrive on whether to abolish the U.S. Senate filibuster in order to expedite confirmation of just 7 judicial nominees. In the absence of the filibuster, should the Democrats ever gain control of the Senate, there would be nothing to stop reenactment of the semi-auto ban, enactment of the 50 caliber ban, enactment of the gun show ban, enactment of the lock-up-your-safety trigger lock mandate, and much, much more. 6 months ago, when this battle started, filibuster opponents were erroneously raising the possibility that the legislative filibuster could be saved, but no more. Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee toured New Hampshire last month with the following message. Quote, all of you know the story of the filibusters, the obstruction, and the list of bills we were obstructed on. Filibusters don't create jobs. Filibusters don't fix government problems. Democrats don't have to agree, but they do have an obligation to come to the table to allow us to vote. In other words, there is an obligation, in Frist's words, for the Democrats to stop filibustering legislation and let the Republicans have votes on the legislative agenda. Notice they're no longer talking about any filibusters of judicial nominations. Now they're talking about doing away with filibusters of legislation. Here's the rub. When liberal anti-gun Democrats get back into power and want to push comprehensive gun bans, gun owners will be the ones using a filibuster to stop the Brady Bunch's legislative agenda. At GOA, we've done this numerous times over the past 20 years, and yet, without the legislative filibuster, the tyranny of the majority will run roughshod over gun owners' rights. Unfortunately, there are many Republicans who can't foresee what the future might hold. Is it really worth trading away one of your most potent weapons just to get judges that may or may not be pro-gun? Remember, 7 of the 9 current Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republican presidents. Do we have 7 pro-gun votes on the court? We're not even close. That's why throwing away our legislative arsenal is so dangerous. If the filibuster is abolished, we will have lost one of our most important weapons against comprehensive gun control. Now, this has been a GOA update brought to you by the sponsors of this show, Gun Owners of America. I encourage you to check out and join at www.gunowners.org. Well, today, we're going to talk about freedom of speech and freedom of the press. We're going to talk about an attack on those rights. I have a great guest that I'm going to be introducing in just a second, but just a personal aside. I was involved in organizing a plaintiff group to challenge the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, better known as McCain-Feingold. This was the campaign finance law that was supposed to protect us from undue influence, from special interests, that was supposed to stop sham issue ads. At the time, at realcampaignreform.org, we predicted a host of bad things were going to come out of this legislation, that you were going to lose your freedoms. In fact, we said that you were going to lose even more freedom right away on the freedom of the press front. Well, it didn't take long to be proven right. The Supreme Court rendered its decision in December of 2003, and now, here in early 2005, the Federal Election Commission, under judicial order, is enacting rules on how you can use the Internet for politics. We've got Mike Krimpaski here as our guest today. Mike is the co-founder and a regular writer, and he's becoming quite the star, too, on various TV outlets and news outlets. He's the host of RedState.org. And I'm glad to welcome Mike here. Mike, how are you doing today?
Very well, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is, I'm beginning to see your face all over the place. I've seen you on C-SPAN now two times in the last 2 weeks, and I've got this article with your mug on in the National Journal. You're getting out there. Why is this happening?
Well, I think it's interesting. The first time I've really got involved with campaign finance and sort of in terms of the details of the fight, I'm realizing that, there really isn't a lot of, quote, campaign finance experts that are on our side of the issue. Or maybe it's just that journalists have a fairly short Rolodex. But they tend to trot out the same old suspects, the same old election experts and professors. They're all pro-regulation and pro-restriction of speech. So I think that I'm in a good perspective or a good place right now because, I really care about the Internet. I'm very active on the Internet. And I've tried to focus pretty much all my time and effort over the last month or so trying to wade through what the Federal Election Commission is doing and try to translate that into something that other bloggers and folks that are on the Internet can understand.
In my experience, I think you're exactly right. When we were doing realcampaignreform.org, part of the reason we're not still doing anything very active on that front today was it was very hard to get people to understand the seriousness of this issue, how important, what an impact it had on their lives. Are you finding that same situation right now?
Well, actually, I'm in a different boat, and I think, actually, I have it a lot easier than you did. I'm not sure how much background your listeners have on this issue, but when the president signed into law the campaign finance reform bill in 2002, Congress did not include the Internet as a category that ought to be regulated. And when the Federal Election Commission, whose job it is to create the rules to go with those laws, looked at the statute and said, well, Congress didn't mention the Internet, we're not going to regulate the Internet. So they passed an exemption for basically all political activity on the web. Now, the reformers, and I think reformers is a generous term for these folks, McCain and Feingold and Chase and Meehan sued the Federal Election Commission over this very exemption, saying that it was too broad and it was too pro-freedom, I think, from their perspective. Mm-hmm. And they won that suit. And as you mentioned in the introduction, a federal judge has ordered the Federal Election Commission to go back and write these rules to govern political activity on the Internet. And that's pretty much where we are today.
Well, I want to take, we're coming up close to a break, but one of the things that really interests me about this whole situation is that the FEC could have objected. They could have chosen to appeal this portion of the decision, and they didn't. We're going to get to that in just a moment when we get back. You can get in on the conversation at 1-800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. We'd like to hear what you think about protecting your rights on the Internet to free speech. This is Jim Babka.
JLS Research, founders of a revolutionary new all-natural deodorant, wants to get up close and personal with you. You wear deodorant, right? Well, let's hope you do. You obviously wear it to cover up that embarrassing underarm odor. Well, why mask the odor when you can completely eliminate the bacteria which causes the odor in the first place? Check out this new product. It's called No BO, and you won't believe how effectively it works. I know, you're wondering, how can you trust No BO to eliminate your embarrassing body odor? Look, the creator of No BO understands what you're going through. She knows you want a safe deodorant that contains no aluminum, preservatives, chemicals, or petroleum-based products. She also knows that while you want it all natural, you want it very effective. That's why she had to search 40 years to find this all-natural product that actually soothes the skin while it attacks bacteria. Try No BO. It comes with a 100% money-back offer. No BO is so highly concentrated, a little goes a long way. Give them a call at 888-881-NO-BO. Check out their website at no-bo.com. Come on, it's time for you to enjoy the sweet smell of success with No BO. That's no-bo.com.
To the farthest corners of the earth, explorers are willing to put all their wealth and skill into mapping every corner of the world, and they did. But you can still hold the world in the palm of your hand, achieve financial independence. Unlike explorers of yesteryear, you'll have a map to follow instead of relying on a compass and a North Star. Get the Red Book of U.S. coins and you'll begin your journey to total financial freedom. Right now, Midas Resources is offering the 2005 edition of the Red Book, along with a silver dollar, for only $22.95. Call them today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. I can tell you there'll be storms ahead, but with real money as your base, liberty will be your fate. Leave the fiat currency behind and call Midas Resources to get your Red Book along with that silver dollar for only $22.95. Get the map. Start your journey to financial independence today. The time is now. Call 800-686-2237. Get your Red Book now and you'll weather any storm that comes your way.
Do you want to be able to listen to adult programming? Make your own decisions about what your children can see and hear? Or have reporters tell you when politicians use gutter language or engage in sexual misconduct? Well, too bad. Congress wants to take these things away from you by imposing huge fines on broadcasters for indecent speech. I'm Jim Babka, president of DownsizedDC.org. I'm also a parent with three young children. Like you, I don't want Congress making my decisions about what I can see or hear, or how I raise my children. Tell Congress no. Go to DownsizedDC.org and petition Congress to withdraw their huge new fines for indecent speech. Save your right to make your own choices. Visit DownsizedDC.org and send Congress a message. That's www.DownsizedDC.org. Don't censor our programs.
You love your coffee, don't you? Every morning, every afternoon, you couldn't live without it. Unfortunately, with every good thing, there's a little guilt. Are you putting the right thing in your body? Well, the solution is here. How about healthy coffee? Now you can enjoy guilt-free, healthy coffee from New Concepts. Choose from nutritious classic black coffee made from coffee beans and high-quality Ganoderma extract that has been documented to have extraordinary health benefits. Or indulge in a daily cup of mocha for that chocolate flavor made with a luscious combination of premium coffee beans and Ganoderma extract. Specially blended to give you an authentic, creamy coffee. Need an extra energy boost? Try ginseng coffee, combining Ganoderma extract and ginseng, resulting in an exotic, decadent flavor. All coffee beverages are naturally low in caffeine. New Concepts also offers delectable teas and other delicious beverages for the whole family. Call now and experience guilt-free, healthy coffees or teas from New Concepts by calling toll-free 888-439-3652, 888-439-3652, or shop at new-concepts.com.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're back at 20 minutes past the hour. This is Jim Babka and the Culture Affair Show. We're here with Mike Krempaski. We're talking about threats to your freedom of speech and freedom of the press rights on the Internet right now. We were talking about what the FEC is up to. But before we get to that, Mike, I read your blog and I see the most disturbing information. I understand that you are a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
I bleed black and gold, Jim.
Oh, man. I'm just a little ways up the road in Cleveland, and so those fights are bitter every year.
Oh, they're not bitter. We actually, you know, quite appreciate Cleveland fans, at least when they can sell enough tickets to have a team in their city.
Well, thank you very much. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the judge's decision. September 18th, 2004, 157-page decision, which I would describe as dense. Judge Colleen Kohler-Catelli ruled, quote, to permit an entire class of political communications to be completely unregulated would permit an invasion of campaign finance laws. Then on October 28, 2004, the Federal Election Commission, and we're going to refer to them as FEC throughout this conversation more than likely, voted not to appeal this ruling. There's two things that jump out at me here. First, I wanted to ask you, was there anything in the McCain-Feingold law that really gave the Federal Election Commission the ability or the direction that they were supposed to regulate the Internet? And second, couldn't the FEC have appealed this decision?
Well, to answer your first point, no. The Internet's not mentioned because we're talking about very complex statutes, and there's a specific category that, you know, ironically is described as public communications, and the Internet is specifically not included in that. Now, they did talk about the Internet in some other parts of the law, but the law is huge. And so the FEC was right to exempt the Internet. And, you know, as you point out, they had an opportunity to appeal this judge's decision. One interesting thing of note is that, you know, the FEC, by law, is split between three Democrats and three Republicans, and you need four votes to pretty much do anything. Now, when they passed the original exemption, they had four votes. It was all three Republicans and one Democrat against two Democrats. Now, unfortunately, since that original exemption was passed, that one common-sense Democrat has since left the commission, replaced by a woman named Ellen Weintraub, who actually voted to not appeal this judge's decision and therefore go ahead with regulating the Internet.
All right, I want our listeners to hold on to the name Ellen Weintraub because she may come up a little bit later here in this story.
Well, I hope so.
Here's why, folks, you need to be concerned about this, okay? Here's three areas that could be affected, okay? Forwarding a campaign press release using email, posting a campaign ad on your blog, or linking to a candidate's website from your home page. This is what's at stake right now. Mike, can you fill our listeners in? How did this all blow up? How did this become an issue on the Internet?
Well, I can tell you that your listeners really, really need to know who Brad Smith is.
Amen.
Brad Smith is probably the most principled and most effective conservative in Washington. He sits on the Federal Elections Commission. He is a champion of freedom. He is a brilliant attorney. And for everything that we talk about in terms of the threats to our liberty, I guarantee you that Brad Smith has already stopped 10 of them. He's really doing our work, those of us that love freedom. Now, back about a month ago, he gave an interview to a technology magazine, which raised a lot of these points. It said, hey, look, you know, you folks haven't been listening about this, but, you know, my commission's about to start looking at the Internet, and here are some things that could happen. Here are some things that the FEC has to look at. And what Smith is trying to tell us, and rightly so, is that anytime a bureaucracy or an agency like the FEC takes laws that they've used and rules that they've used when it comes to things like printing presses and television stations and radio broadcasts, and tries to apply them to this new Internet technology, they get it wrong every time. They don't understand it. And, you know, I'm very fond of saying that if we talk about regulation, it's not a precise instrument. It's a fairly blunt one. And when they try to fix one thing, they end up messing something else up. So right now, they're looking at how do we get all this scary big money into the Internet, and in order to do that, they're willing to sacrifice our freedoms to act as individual, you know, activists on the web.
Okay, now this is nothing new, though. I asked our listeners to pay close attention to the name Ellen Weintraub because she was part of a group of people who said Brad Smith is an alarmist, that the things that he's stating are overstated, they're not true, they're just plain bunk. Explain a little bit to our audience what kind of charges came back and who was leveling them at Brad Smith just for answering questions in an interview.
You bet. Actually, it was the usual suspects. Brad Smith raises an alarm and says, this is a possibility, we have to be concerned. Almost immediately, even his fellow commissioners on the Democratic side, both the chairman, Scott Thomas, who's a Democrat, and Ellen Weintraub, immediately got out there in public and said, Brad Smith is an alarmist. He's only doing this because he hates regulation. There's nothing to worry about. And, you know, I have to say that I laugh every time one of these bureaucrats says, don't worry, you have nothing to worry about, you know, as if they've got any, as if we have any reason to trust them when it comes to protecting freedom. And so, you know, and then all of the usual suspects, the McCains, the Feingold, they, you know, called Brad Smith a lot of bad names and questioned his character. And, you know, fast forward a couple weeks, the Federal Election Commission releases a draft of some rules. And lots of folks are talking about how, well, the FEC has tried to protect individuals, and clearly Brad Smith got it all wrong. Well, you know, funny thing happened on the way to calling Brad Smith a liar, and that is that someone leaked to me an early draft of those rules. And this is a lot of fun when you get to see the sausage being made inside of government, because at the same time that Ellen Weintraub and some other Democrats were calling Brad Smith an absolute alarmist who was making stuff up to scare people into action, there was a draft on their desks which called for overwhelmingly draconian regulation of the Internet. And if you need to get a little example of how scary this really is, this draft is produced by the counsels, all the attorneys at the FEC. These are the folks that are principally in charge of running the agency and making judgments and evaluating cases. This draft started with the premise that everything ought to be regulated and only provided one tiny little exception, you know, in their sort of little hat tip to freedom, as it were. And that is for a website that was both password protected and got less than 500 visitors in 30 days.
Okay, so basically, if your website isn't very effective, if you're not reaching a whole lot of people, if a lot of people aren't interested in your content, then they've decided that they're going to be gracious enough to leave you alone.
Exactly. These are the quintessential scraps from the king's table. And, you know, I can't think of a website. I can't think of any websites that are password protected and get less than 500 visitors, because you're right, they're not effective. I don't know about them. You know, so,
okay, but here's an objection that comes up. People say, well, it's not really possible for them to regulate all these blogs. I mean, I've seen this on the Internet. People don't seem to be real concerned at the moment. Is it possible for the FEC to regulate all the blogs? What is the problem here?
Oh, you betcha. Because keep in mind, you know, you and I understand what happens when government gets involved in speech, is that, you know, for every one crackdown they make, you know, there are thousands of people that simply will choose not to speak because of just simply the fear of, you know, the force of government. So all the FEC will have to do, I believe, is to pick out a couple high-profile bloggers, make an issue, in fact, make an example out of them, and they will have done just a tremendous blow to the freedom of speech.
They'll be given a chilling effect to it. Well, we're coming up on a break again. You can get in on the conversation at 1-800-259-9231. We're talking about saving our blogs here. Please come back on the other side of the break.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat symptoms. BioSolutions has over 450 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. It comes with a 30-day return policy and a one-year limited warranty. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625, 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625. Call today.
Larry Pratt's latest book is now available. On the Firing Line, Essays in the Defense of Liberty can be purchased from Gun Owners of America for only $18 plus shipping and handling. On the Firing Line is a collection of essays that GOA's Executive Director Larry Pratt has written over the last few years. They were composed in the battle to defend the right to keep and bear arms, as well as the rest of our liberties protected in the Bill of Rights. Pratt has taken on the arguments used by the enemies of freedom who would disarm and subjugate Americans. Pratt shows that the debate transcends firearms because the debate is really about control. Who will control the lives of private citizens? Will it be each person individually, or will it be the government? You can order your copy of On the Firing Line by going to the GOA website at gunowners.org. or you can call GOA's toll-free number 1-888-886-GUNS. That's 888-886-GUNS.
So what's in your shampoo, bath soap, and dish soap? Chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodiums, formaldehydes, etc.? Read the labels. Inhaling exposure can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, headache, and nausea. Also may be irritating the skin and mucous membranes and cause you to seek medical help. Perfumes, also known as fragrance on a label, can indicate the presence of thousands of separate ingredients. Now, just by one example, here's what's in my Calben Pure Soap Shampoo. It's all natural, earth-friendly, it contains extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. No harsh chemicals, no animal tallow or testing. So what are you waiting for? Call now, 1-800-340-7091, and find out how a family of four can save over $1,000 per year on all their cleaning products with Calben Pure Soaps. Call Calben toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 800-340-7091, or visit calbenpuresoap.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You're listening to the Culture Repair Show, 1-800-259-9231. Or I'll even let you email me, Jim Babka at jimbabka.com, if you want to get in on the conversation. Last name spelled B-A-B-K-A, jimbabka.com. You can email me if you have a question. We're here with Mike Krempaski. We're talking about threats to your rights on the Internet. We're talking about some very specific things: forwarding a campaign press release using email, posting a campaign ad on your blog, linking to a candidate's website from your homepage. All of these could become regulated activities that require you to get a treasurer involved, file paperwork with the FEC, get a lawyer involved. I mean, it can be a real mess for you. And Mike Krempaski with redstate.org, it's a blog, he's one of the co-founders, is here as my guest talking about it. Mike, You had a chance to appear on C-SPAN, and I got to see you when you did the panel discussion a little more than a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a very interesting some points that you made on your blog. The entry is called "What Yesterday's Panel Proved." I'm curious, what lessons did you learn from participating in that discussion? Kind of set up a little background on it and tell the audience what you learned from it.
You bet. I was actually invited to participate in a panel discussion down on Capitol Hill where one of my co-panelists was the chairman of the FEC, Scott Thomas. And the idea was to talk about what this rulemaking, which is the roughly 2-month process that the FEC takes to create rules that then go into effect, and what would this rulemaking and how would it affect the Internet? And throughout the panel, I noticed two things. One, the folks that are in charge of regulating this really don't believe they're doing a lot of damage. But I think that's really evidence of their sort of very pro-regulation and their lack of respect for free speech. But more important, what's really clear through all of this is that they don't understand two things. One, how the Internet works, and how politics on the Internet works. And number two, which I think is more important, because it might try to fix all these other things, they don't realize how good politics on the Internet can be for all of our politics. You know, they don't understand that, you know, the freedom for anyone to speak means that people can't go in there and throw millions of dollars around and crowd other people out.
Is it fair to call our campaign finance laws incumbent protection acts?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt. I'm sure you've recommended to your readers before a great book by a guy named Jim Miller called Monopoly Politics.
I haven't had the chance yet, but I'd recommend that, and I'd also recommend Brad Smith's Unfree Speech.
Absolutely, The Folly of Campaign Finance Reform. You know, and so they don't. The regulators don't understand that. You know, I'll give you a good example. You know, we look back at in September of last year, we look at CBS News, which is a multi-billion-dollar corporation that has thousands of employees, that spent 5 years and untold dollars to create a story about the President of the United States and his service or lack thereof in Vietnam. And they rush it to air just, you know, 2 months before an election to try to inject themselves into this campaign. Now, clearly that's an example of big money getting involved in politics. And what happened? Well, we saw in about 12 hours, thousands of volunteer bloggers, motivated people all around the country, tear that story to bits and prove that it was false. You know, that's actually good for our political system, you know, to have lots of speakers out there that have lots of people bringing their opinions to bear, and that, you know, I think, and I'm sure you agree, that we ought to leave that space free for anybody to get in there and participate. And I don't care if you're a libertarian, a Republican, a Democrat, it doesn't matter, because anyone can do it and anyone can participate.
Okay, but I agree with you, of course, but I've got to play devil's advocate for a second with you, Mike, because maybe someone's listening right now that's just begging to ask or wanting to know, couldn't there be some kind of corporate influence or union influence over these blogs? Couldn't campaigns start making deals where they buy off space on very popular blogs where they are indeed coordinating their activities, and doesn't that kind of activity need to be regulated?
Well, let's make something clear before we get any further and before you hear anything else from someone else. When campaigns spend money, they have to disclose it. Nothing in this rulemaking changes or adds to that, okay? So as of today, if the FEC didn't do anything and didn't regulate the Internet, if Bush Cheney 04 went out and spent $1 million buying bloggers, they'd still have to report it and we'd be able to talk about it and criticize it. Nothing changes. Now, when it comes to, you know, hypotheticals, I tend to take the position that what's the problem we're trying to fix? Let's not try to, you know, imagine the worst thing that can happen and write these awful rules to stop it. You know, let's actually look what happens in politics and let's see if there's a problem. And I don't believe there is at this point.
Okay. I mean, I think that's a great answer. I think we have to have competition in the system, and I think what you're saying is the right response. I want to get off into one other little side note, but before I do, I want to talk about what can be done about this law. Is there any way to roll these laws back, get rid of them? Is there any way to in particular, protect the Internet?
Absolutely. There's two things that you can do, and your readers and your listeners can do. The first one is to participate. The FEC's regulatory process is an open one. They are inviting public comment. They will take your comments into account. And I would encourage everyone to go to FEC.gov, and if you need help or if you need some background information on it, you can go to FEC.redstate.org, and you can see lots of things that we've written about how these regulations impact you, and you can take that and you can submit an official comment. But more important, there are bills in Congress right now. There's one in the Senate, sponsored by none other than Minority Leader Harry Reid, and in the House of Representatives, sponsored by a congressman from Texas named Jeb Hensarling, that specifically roll back, actually they go back to those original statutes we talked about, and direct the FEC to not regulate the Internet. So before, where Congress just didn't mention it, and the court said, you know, fill in the blank, you've got to go add these things, now Congress is considering going back and writing right into that. It's a one-sentence law that simply says that this shall not apply to the Internet.
Folks, you don't get a lot of opportunities to see a one-sentence law. I mean, this law is straight and to the point. My day job, I'm president of DownsizeDC.org, and DownsizeDC.org is going to be rallying people on this issue. We've already given the instructions to our webmaster. They may even be up even as I'm sitting here talking to you. But we're going to be doing a Save Our Blogs, an updated Save Our Blogs issue. You can come to that site, and you can find out who your representative, who your senators are, and use the system to send them a message directed personally to them. You can personalize the message. Listen to how short this law is. Paragraph 22 of Section 301 of the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971 is amended by adding the end of the following new sentence. Such terms shall not include communications over the Internet. Period. It's a whole law. And you can come to downsizedc.org and you can do something about this. You can say something to your representative and your senators, and I encourage you to do so. Mike, I know we're running up against time here, but are you concerned, since there was a more draconian version of these regulations before this comment period arranged, the one that was leaked to you, that the FEC is still interested in maybe a little bit of mission creep?
Oh, there's no doubt, Jim. And I think that, you know, I think the most important thing to remember when people think or are inclined to think that this is no big deal, and I know you remind your folks of this all the time, there's a whole lot of difference between being regulated a little bit and regulated not at all. You know, once you step into that, just a little bit of regulation, you know, you mentioned it earlier, we're talking about getting lawyers, we're talking about legal penalties. It's nothing that we want people to do.
Mike, I have one more question I'd like to ask you, if you could stay on to the other side of the break.
I sure can.
Okay, 1-800-259-9231 is the number, or Jim Babka, jimbabka.com if you want to email. We're talking about campaign finance, the internet. See you on the other side of the break.
All water isn't the same. Scientific research in the past two decades which studied water has produced some startling new information. Water is not just some simple liquid that we happen to drink. Because our body is composed of 75% water, drinking energized water adds pure light frequency that can help cleanse and help alleviate most health problems. AquaNorthwest.com carries a full line of products that will increase the water's energy by creating a positive spin and revitalizing water in a higher vibration state. For example, AquaNorthwest.com offers an energy gel mug. Simply place any liquid in the energy gel mug, and in just minutes, your water is positively charged and ready to enter your body in the most impressionable state. You've all heard about products that energize your water. Don't be fooled by imitators. Visit AquaNorthwest.com and learn more about the benefits of positively charged energy water. Call 888-7-AQUA-NW. That's 888-727-8269. Or visit AquaNorthwest.com.
Attention parents. Congress wants to take away your parental authority. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. The new bill is about to become law, and unless we do something to stop it, it could eliminate your favorite show. All because Congress is offering to help protect your children. After Janet Jackson's costume accident, Congress got up in arms. They proposed $500,000 fines for broadcasters and on-air talent per incident of indecency. You are right to want to protect your children. I have three young children myself. But you don't want the government to choose what's appropriate for you or your family. There is programming that some families find objectionable that you, as a parent, may decide to use as the basis of a life lesson, a conversation with your children. At DownsizeDC.org, we believe that Congress must not meddle with your family decisions. This bill is in the final stages of becoming law. We must act now to stop it. You can tell your congressman you oppose this law by visiting DownsizeDC.org.
You've heard about PAWS from BioWax International and its Bubble Up technology. But have you heard about BioWax Citrus Concentrate that also uses Bubble Up technology? BioWax Citrus Concentrate harnesses the power of oxygen to safely attack and remove dirt, stains, odors, and soils at the source. It's a sad fact, but in just seconds, your carpet can be soiled with mud, your sofa ruined by pizza sauce, or your walls by color crayons. But in minutes, you can remove those problems with BioWax Citrus Concentrate. Call 877-289-7297 or visit BioWax.com. Bubble Up Technology is part of the reason BioWax International will guarantee you will have a cleaner and healthier home after using BioWax Citrus Concentrate. You can throw out all those bottles of harmful cleaning chemicals because it's just better to use BioWax Citrus Concentrate to clean your home. Call 877-289-7297 or visit BioWax.com. That's BioWax.com. When you see the difference, you'll know why it's just better to use the BioWax family of products.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
We're back at 16 minutes till the top of the hour. This is Jim Babka, the Culture Repair Show. My guest is Mike Krempaski. I've got a final question, or maybe a couple questions for him. This law was passed, in my opinion, under false pretenses. At the time that the law was passed, and then it went through the courts, right before the decision arrived at the Supreme Court, there was a fraudulent study that was exposed. Literally, there was a professor who stood at a phone booth in an airport issuing instructions on how to change the outcome of the study because his funders weren't happy with it. And his funders happened to be the Pew Charitable Trust. Well, last year, in a secret meeting, in a conference really, one of the former Pew employees who was in charge of spending the money and managing this quote-unquote campaign said the idea about campaign finance reform, the idea was to create an impression that a mass movement was afoot, that everywhere they looked, in academic institutions, in the business community, in religious groups, in ethnic groups, everywhere people were talking about reform. Over 7 years, I spent about $30 million of Pew money on this effort, and the money led directly to key elements of the McCain-Feingold legislation. the ban on soft money, the issue advocacy provision, the better disclosure, and the stand by your ad. We funded the business community, minority groups, and religious groups. Mike, I know that you're familiar with this situation. What did Pew do here exactly?
Well, essentially what Pew did was, and they spent a lot of money to do it, but they spent a lot of time, and they understood that this is a long ball game, but they spent some tens of millions of dollars going around the country, and you know, they would selectively give money to folks to develop research and things that would drive public opinion, all with one goal. They wanted to create the impression that the public supported this. They wanted to, you know, go out and find professors to write studies and surveys about how many Americans believe that there was, you know, corrupt politics and we needed to step in and regulate. They would fund journalists' programs and trips and, you know, try to educate these journalists at places like NPR and public television, all sort of with the same idea, to give them this idea in the back of their head that the public was demanding this.
John Fund called this a Potemkin village. They literally built a Potemkin village just for the 535 people on Capitol Hill, make them think that there was a huge demand for this. I want to give our listeners just a quick course, I mean a 10-second course on tax law with nonprofits. There are different types of foundations. The type of foundation that the Pew Charitable Trust is cannot engage at all, not one dime, not one bit, in influencing the outcome of elections or legislation. And I'm curious, do you believe, Mike, that they violated the law here?
Well, I'm not an attorney, Jim, so I hesitate on that. But you know, if they did nothing else, this sure stinks. It stinks because if you want to talk about an elite class or an elite group of people in this country, an aristocracy, you're talking about the Pew Trusts. They're one of the largest foundations in the country. They have all the money in the world, and they spend a lot of that money making sure that people like you and I can't participate in our politics. And that's just downright disgusting, if you ask me.
And you know, they did it kind of behind closed doors, so to speak. I mean, they didn't come out and announce that they were doing this. They weren't seeking to make a public issue of this. This was kind of done in the back doors. And one of the things that we're always told is that the light of day needs to be shining on how legislation is created by these good campaign finance people. Well, Mike, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to come to downsizedc.org. It happens to be my website that I run during the day, but we're giving people an opportunity to contact Congress and support this legislation that tells the Federal Election Commission, keep your hands off the internet and off of Mike Krampansky's blog, which is redstate.org. Mike, thanks for being here.
You bet, Jim. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Mike Krampansky, folks. And, you know, last week I had an opportunity to share with you the 20 things that the Constitution gives our federal government the power to spend money on and do. And this week I was interviewed for a documentary. And the documentary is on the drug war. John Holloway came out to my house. I sat in an easy high back chair and had a camera focused on me and got to answer a bunch of questions about the drug war. But the most interesting question he asked me is, what is the one thing I want most? What's the thing I wanted to tell anybody that was watching this film that we really need to do? And you know, I came back to this idea that we need to begin to enforce, we need to create a passion, a burning desire in the American people to enforce the 10th Amendment. This is the amendment, the 9th and the 10th Amendments are the ones that say Congress can't spend the money. They can't do any of the things that aren't specifically authorized in the document we call the Constitution. And let me just read through, just super fast, those things one more time. Borrow money, regulate commerce among states, regulate naturalization, regulate bankruptcies, coin money, fix weights and standards, establish post offices and post roads, record patents, protect copyrights, create federal courts, punish pirates, declare war, raise an army, provide a navy, call up the militia, organize the militia, make laws for Washington, D.C., and make rules for the army and the navy. Folks, if it's not on that list, they shouldn't be doing it. It's unconstitutional. And every politician, every congressman, every senator, the president of the United States and vice president take an oath to uphold the Constitution. But yet they continue to pass these programs. And when it comes to the drug war, we have to recognize that big government doesn't work. It is going to make the problem worse. The drive-by shootings, all of the effects that occur from prohibition, the creation of a black market, the attempt to hook kids on playgrounds on drugs, this comes from a government that is acting in an unconstitutional fashion. We have to rein it in. And so that was my passion plea, that we begin to ignite that fire in the American people, that they would want to return to the constitutional limited government that is provided for by the Constitution, that they want to downsize D.C. I'm Jim Babka, and this is the Culture Repair Show. We're coming up on the final segment, 1-800-259-9231.
Congress wants to silence shock jocks by imposing huge new fines for indecent speech. They say they're doing it to protect our children. But we can do that on our own, thank you very much. I'm Jim Babka, president of DownsizeDC.org. I'm also a father. It can be hard to protect your children's innocence. So much programming is clearly unsuited for them. But there's a reason for that. It was made for adults. Being an adult means you can stay up late, eat junk food, watch bad TV shows, and make your own decisions about when to protect your children by changing the station or blocking a channel. But Congress wants to treat everyone like children. What's next? Will they also tell you when you have to go to bed? Tell Congress no. Go to DownsizeDC.org and petition Congress to withdraw their huge new fines for indecent speech. Save your right to make your own choices. Visit DownsizeDC.org and send Congress a message. Don't censor our programs.
If you're $10,000 in credit card debt or more and are making minimum monthly payments but getting nowhere, Debt Relief USA has the answer. Call 1-800-516-6567 now. Debt Relief USA has ways through special programs to reduce your principal and interest. You may qualify to reduce your credit card debt as much as 75%. Just call 1-800-516-6567 for a risk-free debt analysis. Stop losing sleep over annoying, harassing phone calls. Don't even consider bankruptcy until you know your options. We cannot help unless you call 1-800-516-6567 today. Our debt relief specialists understand and know the answer to getting you out of credit card debt fast. Just one call will put your life back on track. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call for a free debt evaluation at 1-800-516-6567 for the relief you need. Debt Relief USA is helping Americans resecure their financial future one client at a time, excluding Maryland and New York.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Here in the final segment of the Culture Repair Show, I'm your host, Jim Babka. I really hope you're going to visit DownsizeDC.org and tell Congress how you feel. Tell them to save our blogs. Tell them to keep their hands off the internet. I have some incredible news to share with you here. Sometimes things that go on in Washington just, they still stun even me. I have a pretty jaded view of Washington. The President of the United States picked up the newspaper and he reads it. And this is his conclusion. This is about passports. When I first read in the newspaper about the need to have passports, particularly today's crossings that take place, about 1 million, for instance, in the state of Texas, I said, what's going on here? See, he was confused. He didn't know that a passport was going to be required to get back into the United States coming from Mexico. And how? How in the world did this happen? Well, it was a law passed by Congress designed to keep immigrants out of the country. That was how it was advertised. They were going to protect us from terrorism. In fact, one congressman, Roy Blunt from Missouri, got up and said something extraordinary. He said that an ID card was a weapon of mass destruction. And so their solution, these geniuses, these saints on high, Capitol Hill, said, you know what? We need to require passports in this new security bill. We're going to protect ourselves from dangerous immigrant terrorists. And the White House had no idea that this was in there. And in fact, the president has said that he wants a review of the rules. A review of the rules. Because this doesn't seem wise to him. They didn't understand why, of course. There was no announcement as to why he was unaware of these. He signed the bill into law. And at DownsizeDC.org, we're going to have a major initiative to make Congress read the law as it passes. We want to pass a law that says, guess what, guys? If you're going to pass these big honking 3,000-page bills, you got to read it. Unbelievable. Perhaps the president was working hard. He works nights, you know, sometimes weekends. All right. Cash on the Scarecrow, Pork on the Plow. This is from Reason's blog called Hit and Run, an entry by Matt Welch. John Cougar Mellencamp, as we know all too well, was born in a small town, Seymour, Indiana, to be exact. And he cares passionately about farmers. He has been involved in Farm Aid. And he's talked about how the Reagan administration and various other administrations have not done enough to help farmers. Well, folks, you can search the government's database, thanks to the folks at the Environmental Working Group, and you can search it, and you can look up Mellencamps, and you can look up Mellencamps of the Hoosier State, and then you can even look them up in the small town of Seymour, and you'll find that there are 12 beneficiaries of government money, starting with $383,673 to James A. and Michael Mellencamp, $249,590 to George Mellencamp, 12 Mellencamps all in all, getting checks for $1.14 million. Well, this has been the Culture Repair Show. I just am consistently amazed how big government is and how many things it's doing. We need to rein it in, folks. It's time to downsize DC. Again, visit downsizedc.org to save our blogs this week. I'm Jim Babka. It's been fun.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.